In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, Amen. I cannot begin without first thanking our rector, Father Turner, and the St. Thomas Wardens and Vestry for their invitation to preach on this auspicious occasion. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, was first invited a good while ago, but having accepted, then this past summer had to withdraw from this and other occasions for reasons of health restrictions on his travel. It is a privilege to be Bishop Curry's second. So here we are, observing 2 centuries of St. Thomas Church's witness and service to this great city and the world beyond. Let's begin with our patron saint. Sometimes, because of his being called Doubting Thomas, he is diminished or even set at naught. But before we get to Thomas's so-called doubts, let's look at who he was and what is revealed in the gospel about him. There we shall see qualities that can also be perceived in the history of this beloved church dedicated to him, qualities to be cherished not only in the past, but now and forward into the future. Thomas is listed in all 4 Gospels as one of Jesus's chosen 12 apostles, but it is in St. John's Gospel that his significance is revealed. St. John's description of Thomas reminds me a little of the character Puddleglum in C.S. Lewis's children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Puddleglum was both pessimistic and loyal. And in fact, at one critical moment, his words summoned up courage in his friends and turned the tide of a desperate battle. He said, "Well, the cause is probably lost, but we might as well make a good end of it." And a good end was just what came of it. Just so, when Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, with all the dangers awaiting him there, it was Thomas who said to his dismayed fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And beneath those words lay a simple and deep love for the Lord in Thomas's heart. Speaking of simplicity and depth, Thomas also had a way of putting the question that would be on everyone's mind, yet no one else asked. At the Last Supper in the upper room, the air thick with fearful apprehension, while the Lord spoke about his destiny, Jesus then said, "You know the way that I am going." It was Thomas who interrupted Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus famously replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." After Christ's crucifixion and burial on Good Friday, and the discovery of his empty tomb early Easter Sunday morning, the same upper room was the scene of Jesus's answer to Thomas's hesitation to believe his fellow apostles' word, the word that Jesus was raised from the dead that Jesus was brilliantly alive. Thomas had been absent on Easter Sunday evening when Jesus revealed himself to the remaining 10 apostles. And he said to those that he would not believe unless he saw for himself and could put his hands in the risen Lord's wounds. He could not believe. And he didn't want to hear about disembodied spirits or angels or good causes surviving the death of a founder. So it was that 8 days later, in the same upper room, the doors again locked, as the newer translations say, Jesus came to them and offered himself to Thomas's examination. The gospel does not say if Thomas took the Lord up on the offer to touch his wounds. What it records is Thomas's exclamation, "My Lord and my God." This is the highest profession of faith in the entire New Testament. Later, Thomas was among 7 disciples to see the risen Lord when he appeared by the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, while they were fishing. And this is where John's gospel record and the biblical mention of Thomas ends. However, there are ancient traditions that say Thomas carried the gospel of Jesus to Persia and even to India. Let's review Thomas's qualities. Deep love for Jesus and loyalty to him, not least in the face of adversity. Plain speaking concerning the questions of faith in Christ. Confession of the highest sort to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord, crucified and risen and reigning, my Lord and my God. You know this, just above the high altar, carved in the tableau there at the bottom of the reredos, is the risen Christ showing his wounds to Thomas, who is kneeling and gesturing towards Christ in that moment as he exclaims, "My Lord and my God." And as we heard from the gospel, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" replies Jesus. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." An old communion devotion, Eucharistic devotion, uses Thomas's words. Some parishioners of St. Thomas say them softly at the altar rail as they receive the sacrament in their hands. "My Lord and my God." The history of St. Thomas Church reveals Thomas qualities. Rather than mention the particular names of rectors, and in due course, directors of music and heads of school, lest we overlook someone, let us realize that they each had around them leaders and members of the St. Thomas family to join in facing adversity and accomplishing what was achieved. They faced it and did it together. In the 19th century, there was indebtedness, protracted indebtedness, and fire, and a rebuilt church, and a civil war, when the area of early St. Thomas at Broadway and Houston was afflicted by horrendous draft riots and by federal troops sent into the city by President Lincoln. Then after the war, the move north to this spot, the great new church on this site, then burned to the ground in a catastrophic fire at the start of the 20th century. And then, as the residential neighborhood had been gradually, swiftly replaced by business and financial structures, St. Thomas resisted the calls to move further uptown, choosing instead to rebuild a yet more glorious temple of Jesus Christ, an inspiring witness amidst so many other temples dedicated to making money, this breathtaking church. At the end of the First World War, they founded the choir school, now a century old and a jewel of the church's ministry. Our first capital campaign to endow this beautiful church was launched just as the Great Depression of the 1930s began. And then a Second World War. You can read the details of all of this in Professor Wright's fine history of St. Thomas, written a quarter of a century ago. And not the least fascinating chapter in that book is the story of St. Thomas's revival and growth in liturgical and choral excellence, in attendance and generosity, and in service from 1970 onward, despite what has been a period of general church decline in society, social headwinds that continue to this day. Then there was 9/11 and the so-called 2008 Great Recession, which was when we began our second capital campaign. Can you believe it? And then, or should I say still, the COVID-19 pandemic, with its devastating effects everywhere in church attendance, yet at the same time inspiring at St. Thomas an online outreach around the country and the world unimagined only a few years ago. And so here we are. And what do we have? Start with this glorious church building and all that has gone into it. What a mission station on this incredible street corner. Then the liturgy and the music and the teaching, which are called to live up to the building with its Gothic splendor pointing to the heavens. Outside on the Fifth Avenue, over the doors, it proclaims in the words of the ancient Latin hymn Te Deum, "Thou art the King of glory, O Christ." And of course, as we have seen inside, then above the altar, St. Thomas pointing to the glorious wounds of the risen Christ, "My Lord and my God." So it remains, as ever, our mission to invite and to draw people into that life-giving mystery. Loyalty and courage in the face of adversity and challenge, even disaster. Plain and truthful speech about Jesus, his gospel, and the apostolic faith. And then at last, the gift of eyes to see the risen glory of Christ crucified. These are the qualities of our patron saint, and they are embedded in this wonderful church named after him, St. Thomas Church and Choir School. So, dearly beloved, Father Rector, Wardens and Vestry, Maestro and Headmaster, Bishops, clergy, and parishioners and friends, by God's grace, may St. Thomas persevere and hand on this priceless heritage, proclaiming Jesus Christ, our Lord and God. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.